same day, and this year also falls on a Sunday, so we shall be celebrating the name of circumcision of Jesus, also with a due nod to the fact that the calendar is turning. Last night, of course, with fireworks around our house, our dog was truly troubled and pretty upset, and he finally didn't get to sleep until about 12:30 when the fireworks stopped. But this morning he's still so stressed out, he's still on the sofa. One way, of course, in which our Lord and Savior gives us stress relief, not only for today, but also throughout the new year, is to depend on Him, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins, which indeed throughout 2017 will give us life and salvation. We begin our service then with hymn number 117, The Ancient Law Departs. We'll stand for the last stanza. We continue with our liturgy, the communion liturgy on page 15 of the Lutheran hymnal. We will also be receiving a new member through profession of faith, and that will occur immediately after we receive the offer. So we join our hearts and voices in hymn 117, The Ancient Law Departs, and in honor of our triune God, we stand for the last stanza.
Your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a call ordained
grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? You, O Lord, are our Father and our Redeemer. Your name is from everlasting to everlasting.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he is glorified in you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and on our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth from God, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into singing before you, and all the trees shall in the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So far the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson, and also the lesson which serves as the basis for this morning's sermon, is written in the 13th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, beginning at the 7th verse. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday and today and yes forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is bought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking a city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. So far, the epistle lesson. For those who are able, we now rise to speak the gradual responsibly, and at the conclusion, sing the triple hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
And those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth.
And that every tongue should confess.
And that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God.
O Lord, our Lord,
how excellent is your name upon the earth,
who have set your glory
above the heavens.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. O Lord, our God. Hallelujah. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad before the Lord.
Glory be to thee.
the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So far, the Holy Gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Please join me as we make confession of our Christian faith in the works of the Nicene, in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 22 of our hymnal.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten before us from the world, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us and our conscious life. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood upon the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism of the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And please be seated. We now continue with our next hymn, hymn 116, To the Name of Our Salvation. And before the sermon, we sing stanzas 1 to 3.
To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of the epistle lesson which was read earlier. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. So far, the reading. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, today we are already into a new year, 2017, and I hope for all those who are writing checks, they've already put 2017 on the date instead of 2016. You know, when we reflect on the old year, for good or bad, there's nothing we can change. Perhaps we've had our ups and downs, perhaps our joys of sorrow, perhaps our sense of accomplishments, and perhaps even our sense of regret. Regardless, the old year is a closed book. And today we stand on the brink of a new year, and we really do not know many of the details or what that new year will bring. If we look at our world, our nation, our state, or our community, the prospects can always be challenging. Some say if we do this and that, things will improve. Others say if we do this or that, well, we're sealing our own doom. So who can tell who's right? People disagree. We live with the consequences. On a personal level, we don't know what the new year will bring. We'll all probably have our ups and downs, our joys and sorrows, our accomplishments, and perhaps even our regrets. But of what will these consist? I don't know for myself, and perhaps you don't know for yourselves. But much of our lives will be like last year. On a day-to-day basis, we probably follow our routines, and you know, that's a good thing. I mean, who wants to get up every morning and have to reinvent the wheel? We probably have the same things for breakfast. We get up around the same time, etc., etc. But there will be changes in our lives, and there will be changes in the coming year as well. This morning, in the church, in the year of the church, we celebrate the circumcision and name of Jesus. And for a new year, it's fitting that this is the focus of our celebration. And why is that? Because in the midst of the changes of life, in the midst of even the routines of life, Jesus is our anchor, pledging that as he has been with us in the past, he will be with us today, and he will be with us forever. And that brings me to my sermon theme for this morning, Jesus, a name that is the same. And I'll develop that in three parts, and I'm sure by now you can figure out what they are. It's a name for yesterday, it's a name for today, and it's a name for tomorrow. Well, the letter to the Hebrews was probably written before the destruction of Herod's temple in Jerusalem by the Romans in 90 AD, but after the execution in Rome of both Peter and Paul under the persecution that was begun by Nero when he had blamed Christians for setting fire to Rome. And that would have been around AD 66 or 67. Now, the letter may very well have been written by to those Jews who had been converted by Paul during his first imprisonment in Rome. Paul, having summoned the leaders of the synagogues in Rome, and after having expounded to them the Old Testament, some believed in the things which were spoken of, and some did not believe. As one Lutheran Bible scholar has noted, some believed and some did not believe. Sounds pretty much like there was a 50-50 division among the leaders of the synagogues in Rome as to whether or not the crucified and risen Christ whom Paul preached was indeed God's long-promised Messiah. But now the Neronian persecution had ended, and finally the Roman authorities distinguished between Jews and Christians. Now, Jews and Christians knew that there was a difference and there was antagonism between the two groups, but the Romans didn't. Up until this point, the Romans basically thought that the Christians were some kind of Jewish sect, and as such, basically could enjoy the privileges that were given to the Jews beginning under Julius Caesar. For example, the right to assemble, the right to collect their own temple tax, etc., etc. The writer to the letter to the Hebrews points out to his readers that those who had spoken God's word of truth to them concerning Jesus were faithful. They were faithful to God, and they were faithful to the scriptures. The Jesus to whom Paul and others had clung in faith is the same. The Jesus of yesterday is the same as the Jesus of today. As a matter of fact, the entire 11th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews gives name after Old Testament name of the heroes of the faith before the arrival of Jesus. But the faith in which they clung goes back to the very creation of the world. For by faith we understand that the ages were prepared by the word of God, so that what was not made was made out of the things which were visible. And this echoes what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, "For in Jesus all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, both visible and invisible, all things that have been created through him and for him." The Jesus of yesterday is the same. He is the one on whom believers throughout the Old Testament had placed their faith as the one who had been promised by God to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And from Abel onwards, some of those believers gave their lives or even suffered grave hardship. As a matter of fact, Peter and Paul and others gave up their lives during the persecution under Nero, and afterwards many continued to suffer grave hardship. But Jesus, who sanctified the people through his own blood, was the one who atoned for the sins of the world by his suffering and death on the cross. A chapter earlier in Hebrews we read, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Thus, this Jesus is the yesterday of history who died and rose from the dead, and his victory is the victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil, as well as the fulfillment of the faith and hope of all Old Testament believers. In this past year, in like manner, we can reflect that the Jesus of our yesterdays is he who watched over us to preserve us in our lives as well as in our faith. If we had had setbacks, Jesus didn't desert us. If we have had joys, Jesus was there to bless us. If we have endured illness, Jesus was by our side. If we have had loved ones who have fallen asleep in his name, Jesus assures us that they are with him. Perhaps one area where we need to say one more word is if we have had regrets. If we have had regrets, then we can come to Jesus and seek forgiveness. Perhaps what has been done cannot be undone, but Jesus assures us that in his forgiveness there is life and salvation. If we wonder whether we should ask forgiveness, perhaps that's a pretty good rule of thumb, that if we are asking the question, then perhaps the answer is yes. Thus in Jesus, we see that in him we have not only a name for yesterday, but also a name for today. The Jewish Christians in Rome had been suffering hardships and persecution on account of their faith, although a bit later the writer says that that had not yet resulted in the shedding of blood. And the whole letter of the Hebrews is really an exhortation to keep the course of faith in Christ to which they had originally been called. The Jesus who had been there for believers since the very creation of the world is he who had brought their leaders to faith and had kept them to faith and now stands with those believers in Rome in their today. If we read between the lines, we get a sense that these Jewish Christians may have had second thoughts about this Jesus and his way to God. What do we read? Do not be carried away by strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. Another phrase for strange teachings is, of course, false doctrine. And I know some will say, not more stuff about false doctrine. Interestingly enough, and I've used this example before, a few years ago at a pastoral conference in Tacoma, the leader basically said he had been leading his congregation on a Bible study, short Bible studies on all of Paul's letters. And he was astounded that at about every 10 verses, you can count them to see if I'm correct or not, about every 10 verses, Paul makes a point of making a reference to or stressing pure doctrine. And there's a reason for that. These varied and strange teachings that were circulating among the Roman Christians must have been sufficiently attractive that there was a temptation that the Roman Christians might fall into them and be dragged away from the faith. Believe me, if you read the commentaries, no one knows exactly what food refers to, but it is contrasted with grace. God indeed gives temporal blessings in our daily bread, and we pray that we may truly acknowledge and thank him for it. But friends, food doesn't save, nor do rules about food save. Grace is God's good disposition towards us on account of Jesus Christ, based solely on what he has done. We are saved by grace through faith, and it's all God's doing. 100% God, zero me. As a matter of fact, the very name Jesus, as we read in our gospel lesson, means he will save his people from their sins. It was the name given to him by the angel before he was even conceived, and we can say it was his name before the foundation of the world. Varied and strange teachings, in one way or another, always chip away at or undermine grace. In one form or another, it asks that we begin to place our works on a scale so that the equation now reads, not 100% God, me nothing, but maybe God 99.1% and me 99.9% and me 1%. Or maybe it's 50-50, but it really doesn't matter. When we add anything, even the tiniest smidgen to what God has done for us for our salvation, we condemn ourselves before God. In effect, we're saying, hey God, you've done your part and now I'm doing my part. Scripture, however, tells us that Jesus died once and he died for all. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. His work for us, his dying for us, his rising from the dead for us, is all sufficient for all people for all time. And it's also all sufficient for us today. God's grace, his disposition towards us on account of what Jesus has done for us, is the same yesterday as well as today. Today we hear his word of forgiveness. Today Jesus feeds us with his heavenly meal, his true body and blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sin. Today he would keep us in the one true faith so that we may close our hearts and minds and ears to any varied and strange teachings. And Jesus' name, which shows God's gracious disposition to us, not only was a name for yesterday, not only is a name for today, but it is also a name for eternity, forever. It's a name which will sustain us throughout all our tomorrows or the one great tomorrow of eternity. Those Jewish Christians in Rome lived in the capital and greatest city of the empire. But along with the hearers of faith of the Old Testament in chapter 11, they were always on a journey. They were always on a journey through this world towards a city which is to come, that is, not the new Rome, but the heavenly Jerusalem. Jesus was taken outside of the walls of the earthly Jerusalem to suffer and die and then rise from the dead. When Jesus died, the veil in the temple was ripped in two, which meant that now God's way to us and our way to God is only through the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. No matter how beautiful, no matter how strong or vibrant, all of the cities of this world won't last. So what did that mean to the readers of the letter to the Hebrews, and what does it mean to us today? It means that as Christians, we're on a pilgrimage through a world towards a heavenly home which is secure and it's eternal. Our journeys are sustained by faith in He who is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. Jesus forgives us so that we don't become too attached to the earthly things that are passing away. His forgiveness would have us cling to the purity of His word and the proper administration of the sacraments, which are the only means by which He comes to us. He forgives us so that our lives may be sacrifices of praise to His holy name, which assures us of God's gracious disposition towards us. As we begin a new year, we know where we have been, and we know who has been with us. Jesus has been with us since our baptism. He is with us today in His forgiving and atoning word as we receive His true body and blood. Jesus is not only the Lord of creation, but He is also the Lord who has promised to be with us to the very end of the age, and not only to the end of the age, but also beyond, when He will be pleased to have us dwell with Him and all believers in the eternal city made without hands for us. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We now continue with stanzas 4 to 6 of hymn 116, To the Name of Our Salvation. Then we flip back to page 22, turn our hearts and voices in the offertory, and then we shall receive the offering.
Thank you.
give thee both thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone. And trust, O God, from thee. Amen. Please be seated. I will now ask Elizabeth Hocker to come forward. Beloved of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whosoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave to you in your baptism? If you do, say, "Yes, I do." Do you renounce the devil and all of his works and all of his ways? If you do, say, "Yes, I renounce." Do you believe in God the Father Almighty and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If you do, say, "Yes, I do so believe." Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true? If so, say, "I do." Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If you do, say, "I do by the grace of God." Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even unto death? If you do, say, "I do by the grace of God." Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, and fall away from it? If you do, say, "I do by the grace of God." Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? If you do, say, "I do." Will you support the work of our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers from the gifts God has given you? If you will, say, "I will, with God's help." Upon this your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing your daughter to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling her both with heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit she may continue steadfast in the one true faith and the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have thought the good flight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, ever the one true God, now and forever. Amen. The right hand of fellowship and invite you to all the privileges of this congregation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Please be seated. We now would ask those who are able to rise for prayer. Thine unsearchable wisdom and infinite grace that send thy Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and that makes him subject to the law, that by his perfect obedience and sacrificial suffering he might condemn sin in the flesh, grant unto us the circumcision of the heart, so that we may walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O Father, for the name which was given to thy holy child, the sign for all ages that thou art not only the source of all redemption and salvation for the multitude of the earth. We praise that thou hast set Jesus at thine own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Help us ever to hallow the name of Jesus by our obedience to his teaching and example. We offer thee our thanks, O God, for the blessings of this past year and the divine protection that it's made for our needs, for family and friends, for home and harvest, for food and raiment, for health of mind and body, for labor and leisure, for law and government, for peace and order, for our preservation in the faith and for the hallowed times of worship and communion with thee. We thank thee. Forgive us for all the things wherein we have sinned. Heal the wounds we have caused in others. Grant us permission for our failures to do what we ought to have done. Deliver us from the evil consequences of our errors, our omissions, our mistakes, and all our transgressions. And now, O Father in heaven, let thy hand rest in benediction upon this new year, to the end that we may increasingly discover the exceeding riches of thy grace in Christ Jesus, that in sorrow or joy, the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, and that in prosperity or trial we may know the working of thy mighty power and the hope of our calling. Help us that whatsoever we do in word or deed we may do to thy glory. Be thou the shepherd of our youth and the guardian of all children, the health of the sick and the staff of the aged. Granted that whatever befalls us, we may see thy loving hand and in Christ possess the sure confidence that all things work together for the good to them which love thee. We would ask that thou wouldst be with those in our midst and those whom we know who are ill, letting thy hand with blessing and healing rest upon them. To this end, we especially remember Nancy, Roy, Jean, Marlene, Sue, Don, Richard, Beth, Ruth, Doug, Stephen, Mary, Dina, Peter, Julie, and those whose names on our hearts, which we lift up unto thee now. We would ask that you would be with those in our Senate who have been called and those we are calling, that you would grant to all an extra measure of thy Holy Spirit, that those who are called may see where their talents best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and those who are calling may not lose heart during their vacancy. We would ask that you would be with all those who are driving to services this day. Set your holy angels over them and grant them a safe journey. Be thou the defender of thy people everywhere and the unfailing watchman of our own land. Prosper us in the things that make for peace and righteousness, and protect us from every evil. All these things we ask in the one name whereby we must be saved, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now continue with our service with the communion liturgy, which begins on in the middle of page 24 of our hymnal. The Lord be with you. be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Take ye, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, this cup is the New Testament, my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sin, this do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us in the same through faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another, for Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Stand for the sixth and last stanza.